And now we have our special main speaker is Denise from Desert Heart Springs. Denise.
Wow, there's a lot of you out there. Hi, I'm Denise. I'm an alcoholic. Since January 27th, 1983, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink or a drug, and I am amazingly grateful for that. Without Alcoholics Anonymous, I would not be standing here tonight. Clean and sober, I have wanted to quit breathing. I have nearly destructed myself a few times, clean and sober. Anybody else here ever done that? Yeah, buddy. We forget who we are, decide we're better than needing to go to meetings. Then we look around and we're stark raving crazy and destroying our lives. I did that. I don't do drunk logs because actually I started using when I was 14. I quit when I was 31. That was more than half my life, right? At this point, I'm almost twice as sober as I was drunk. Almost. I'm getting there. I know almost doesn't count, but I believe that there's a higher power that's going to keep me sober because he knows what's good for me way more than I do, and I'm willing to do what he says. And I think that because of that, I probably will be here a couple more years, I'm hoping. Anyway, I was going to ask, kind of, you guys could help me with my drunk log. Anybody here have drank more than they meant to? More than you meant to. Oh. Anybody here ever say, I promise I'll never do it again? 20 minutes later, I was at the liquor store. Anybody here ever hide or stash your stuff? Keep it in the toilet tank, or keep it under the bed, or keep it under the... Yeah. I found... You know what? I got sober, and I got home, and I opened up the freezer, and there was... You got it! Bottle vodka. It was like my skin crawled. It was like I almost came out of my skin, because here I am committed and wanting to be clean and sober more than anything in the world. There was this thing in my freezer. You know, I didn't really know what to do with it at first. Thank God I poured that bad boy out. So anyway, you get it. You know where I come from. You've been there. I've been there. We all know how to do that. Drink to get blotto. Okay, that was my goal at the end. That was my main goal. I've heard people say, I drank because I was sad. I drank because I was angry. I drank because I was afraid. I drank because, you know what? I drank because I wanted to drink. I did. I didn't like the taste much, but I sure liked the effect. I drank because I wanted to drink. And if I were to pick up to drink today, it would be because I wanted to drink more than I wanted to stay sober. And that's not me today. I choose to be sober. I know what a better life I have, what a better chance I have at life if I don't pick up that drink. I would not be alive today if it had not been for some amazing old-timers who took me in and kept me around when I hated myself, when I couldn't stand you, when I was afraid to death to come out of my room, when I ate myself through house and home, all of it. They just loved me no matter what. Even when I acted like a jerk, they told me, just tell on yourself. I didn't really know what that meant. And then they said, here's the really ridiculous one, just be. See, I came from this place where I knew about earning my air. I was this person that if you, just to make sure that you liked me, because you see, I went to 13 different schools before I graduated from high school a year early. I was raised by grandparents because, you know, the other ones weren't there. And so I knew a lot about abandonment, about low self-esteem, about feeling like I wasn't sure if you were safe. I wasn't sure if God was safe. Because God, I mean, the God I kind of had was the one that used to beat me like my dad, you know. That's kind of what I thought God might do if I didn't act right. And so all of that stuff gave me this sense of not really knowing who I was. And so I really spent a lot of time, energy, trying to manage your image of me. Even in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that kind of stuff almost killed me. Trying to be, you know, how are you? Well, fine. And then I'd go home and I'd be driving along in my car. Now, this is sober, mind you. Driving along in my car. Now, I only live 5 minutes from the facility that I worked in. I'm driving along those 5 minutes on my way home, and I'm bawling. I'm alone for 5 minutes, and I'm crying like a baby. Something wrong with this picture. I had to do that for a while before I figured out what it was. Actually, I didn't figure it out. It was a shrink who figured it out. And I only went to the shrink because my sponsor said I had to. See, I wasn't going to do that because, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, when I got sober, we didn't do those things. Thank goodness that we now understand that it's okay to seek outside help. I know that for me, had it not been told to me, how many days did you drink? Well, I drank every day. Well, then that's how many days you need to go to meetings. Okay, I heard that. Except that I am also a nut. This nut needed 3 meetings a day for about 5 years. That's what it took for me. And if you're sitting here and you're wondering whether or not you're doing enough meetings, I don't know. I do know that's what worked for me, and thank God for it. And you know what? I've also had to do that to myself a couple of times in sobriety. I've had to treat me like a newcomer, particularly like I told you about that time when I didn't want to breathe anymore. That was particularly when I had to show up in a meeting room of Alcoholics Anonymous, cry like a baby. I had 16 years of sobriety. I'm crying like a baby. I was actually almost homeless. I was a week from being homeless. This is when I did academic suicide, financial suicide, social suicide. I guess that's good enough. That's the stuff I did and wound up then again back home in Desert Hot Springs where I sobered up. And I had to just blubber away, and I realized this is a 24-hour-a-day program. This is a one-day-at-a-time deal. I don't have anything more than that. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. I am so glad I only have to be sober now. And now. You know, I only have to be sober now. That's all I have to do. What a gift. You know, when I start thinking that I got to do it longer than that, guess who goes crazy? That's how I did all those other things where I ruined myself. I thought I had to be in charge of everything all at once all the time. That's my brand of insanity. I don't know if anybody else in here is built like that. God had a plan for me that I really didn't have. I went to UCLA. I have a degree in dance. This was before I was sober. I was a mess in college. Oh, my goodness. And when I got sober, I started working with movement with people and doing dance and stuff. And in this place where those old-timers took me in, I meditated. One day I was doing a lot of secretarial stuff, and I sat down and said, you know what, God, please don't make me be a paper pusher, anybody's paper pusher again. And I sat down and I meditated, and this name came into my mind, and it was someone that I knew of as a dance teacher for the kind of dance I liked. And I just decided to run it by somebody, because that's what I was taught, run it by somebody and see what they thought of doing something with that. And so I did, and I wound up helping. I was pushing my dance teacher's papers down in Tucson. And she decided that after a while, after I'd been there for a little while, she laid me off because she didn't have the money to take care of this secretary person. I could study dance still, but I couldn't be the secretary and be paid. So then I had to wander around trying to find a job. Well, I'd worked in a facility, and so I went to a couple of facilities in Tucson, and they hired me. And next thing I know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. Now, that was not the job I wanted. It was not. I did not want that job. I wanted to teach movement to people. Somehow God just thought, here, let's give her this. My God has a real sense of humor. He does. He'll put me where he wants me no matter what I think about what he's doing. And, yeah, and actually the truth is, you know, I'm showing up, I'm knocking on the door, I won't go away because I need a job. And they look at me and they're saying, you know, we don't know why we're hiring you. And that's when I got it that God signs the paychecks. He does. They didn't know why they were hiring me. I had never worked at this particular kind of job before, in this way. I didn't have the credentials that I needed to have to do this job. They told me I needed to get them in a certain amount of time, and I did. And it was making more money than I had made ever before. You know, and actually, frankly, now that I think about that, what had happened just before that was I had found myself jobless. And I was scared to death. I didn't have any savings or any money. I went to a workshop and I got surrendered enough to say, okay, God, you and I both know I'm about to run out of money. I have about a week's worth of money to live here. You take care of this job and you do it this week. I talked to my God that way. It was Friday afternoon. That was on Saturday the week before. It was Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. They called me and told me I was hired. Now, I have a friend who calls this our 11th hour God. He wants to make sure just how much I'm really willing to do. Like, do I really, 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 really want to just hang in there and believe that he will take care of me no matter what? Or am I going to chicken out and go do something safe? I've done both. Safe. You know what safe usually gets me? You know about safe. Yeah. Safe gets me going like this. I can't stand my life. I hate this. And when I'm doing it, you know, kind of just going with the flow and God's pushing me along, I'm going, oh, God, isn't this a great life? Aren't things wonderful? Those AA people are really nice, you know, instead of thinking you guys are just full of it. You know, I am so grateful to be an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't even tell you what that means to me. The way I tell what that means to me is I drive here from Desert Hot Springs to talk to you guys. Because that's what they taught me. That's what they taught me. I moved a lot in sobriety. I moved a lot early on in my life, and I guess, you know, once it's hardwired in, it's hardwired. And so I wound up chasing jobs around a lot in sobriety. And what I learned along that way was about sponsors. I sobered up in this place, and I lived there and worked there for about 4 years, and then I went to Tucson. I showed up at a meeting, and I looked around. I found somebody that I liked what she had to say, and I went to her, and I said, I've just moved here and I need a sponsor. She said, okay. She gave me her phone number. And I took it and I went back to work. You see, that's where I got all my self-esteem, was at work. I went to work. I did a lot of working. About a month later, I see her in that meeting again. I say to her, I don't know if you remember me. I asked you to be my sponsor. She said, oh, yes. That's the easiest job I ever had. She She was a really good sponsor. I finally learned to use her. And that was my first experience with getting another sponsor after my first, honest to goodness, for real, forever sponsor. You know that one. And along the way, I moved to a couple places in Texas and learned that people have lives. Sponsors. Do you know sponsors have lives? Oh my goodness, how dare them! You know. And I would call, and they wouldn't ever call me back. They thought it was my job to call them. Actually, by that time, I'd been sober for a while, and I was pretty disappointed that I couldn't get these people to call me back. And with my disappointment, what I did in Alcoholics Anonymous was separate. Because you guys weren't acting right. Best way I know to get myself in trouble. Anyway, then I moved again and had another, you know, so it got better because I moved again. I don't know what else I want to tell you about that. I guess I just more than anything want to share with you, if you've just moved, make sure that you find a meeting to get there no matter what. I had to do that with myself when I was sober 6 months before I got so I drank for 12 hours and then got sober again. That 12 hours was my wake-up call. That was what I call my therapeutic relapse. That was when I got it. I am, in fact, without a doubt, without liking it, wanting it, choosing it, thinking it's cute or fun, I'm, in fact, an alcoholic. And not even of sorts. I am one. I am one. No doubt about it. And my only hope is to be able to say, you know what, God, all right, fine. No matter what, I'm willing, one day at a time for the rest of my life, with your grace, to never again drink or drug. So you and I both know I need a lot of help. Because I didn't know how to do that. You know, and since that day, I've been able to stay sober because I made that commitment. And some days, that was all I had, was that commitment. Some days, all I had was my sobriety. You know. I don't know where I was going with that. Yeah, find a sponsor and use them. You know what else? Keep your nose in the books. Keep your nose in the literature. I find it really critically important to make sure I keep reading the big book and the 12 and 12. The 12 and 12 saved my life. It taught me all about myself. I didn't know anything about people. I went to college, you know. And yet I didn't know anything about living. I'm sitting there and I'm hearing them talk about using our ego to... using our education to puff ourselves up into prideful balloons, you know. And I was like, oh, is that what I did? And it was. It was what I did. But I didn't even know it. See, the ego is so good at hiding that stuff. And even today, I can do that. My most recent trip into recovery is, I had to admit, now, I've been sober for a little while, right? I've tried lots of things along the way. I know a lot about staying clean and sober and doing whatever else I want to do, right? You know how they've said that. You can do anything you want to as long as you're willing to pay the price. Well, I paid some prices. I did some shit. No, I didn't. Can't say that. Where was it? I forgot where I was going again. Don't get old. Don't ever get old. Honest. Don't do it, no matter what. It's been this way for a while. I finally had to start telling people that, you know what, I can't remember anything anymore, and that's just how it is. Sorry. you know, here's another kind of interesting piece. I was injured real badly a while ago, and I had to heal in Alcoholics Anonymous. I hurt so bad I could barely walk. I had about four or five different places that hurt all the time. And so I was like crippling around a lot. And I finally, you know, I'd sit at home and this was another one of those times when I didn't want to be here anymore. And I remember thinking, okay, Denise, you know you're in trouble when you're thinking about that. So get your butt up to a meeting. And so, but then I'm going, oh, but it hurts too bad. I don't want to go. Well, you can sit here and hurt, or you can sit in a meeting and hurt. Which are you going to do? Well, I knew I had to be in a meeting, so that's what I did. And I'd show up. I might take 20 minutes to get in my chair. But I got there, and I'd sit in my chair, and I realized I learned a lot of compassion out of this pain. What I learned was walking around in that much pain takes a lot of effort. And I'd walk into the meeting room, and I'd be all hunched over, and I'd be all clenched in, and I'd be all trying to make sure that I could handle this. And I'd sit down, and after about 20 minutes, it would ease up enough, I could look and I could see you. And I had to start talking about that in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I began to realize that people thought that I was ignoring them. You know, after all, didn't I know who they were? And I realized that I had to just tell on myself again and say, you know what, you guys, I'm having a really hard time here. This hurts. I don't want to be here, and I can't see. I can't see you until I've been here for a while. And please don't take it personal. You know, I learned a lot of compassion. If you're young and you've never been hurt, please remember that pain takes a lot of energy. We're old and tired when we hurt, even if we're only 20. Oh, I know what I was saying earlier. I think God is just a crack up. Anyway, what I was saying was that I had to admit that I'm a compulsive overeater as well. That's where I was going with. See, I didn't want to tell you that. And so I've had to dig into that program. And I've heard it called the graduate program. Now, I love this, right? Because you know what it calls for? Super surrender. I had to super surrender to get here and stay here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to do it every day in the graduate program. Every day. And you know what? I'm grateful for that because it's forced me to do better at getting contact with my higher power and therefore with you guys. You know, I can wind up separate and alone real easy. Real easy. And I get it that my life depends on coming to these meetings, on talking to people, on letting them into my life. And saying, and my sponsor used to say things like, get in the car. Where are we going? Doesn't matter. Get in the car. Oh, do you have something else to do? No. Then get in the car. And it didn't matter. It kept me sober for that time I was with her. It didn't matter. And so today I had a couple of people, one of them just said, I'm getting in the car. And the other one said, I guess I'll get in the car. And I'm really grateful that they did. It meant I don't have to ever do this thing alone. And see, I forget. I have this really crazy brain that will tell me that I'm not worth anything, that I don't fit, that you don't like me. What else? You know some other stories that I probably know too. And all of it is a lie. All of that is a lack of working the steps, like step 8, where it talks about learning to get to be one among many, learning how to find a way to fit among these other humans. That's my daily job, is trying to figure out how to be a human, an honest, open, willing, growing, sharing human. Instead of this, I can take care of it myself. Don't you know it relies on me? It's my job. That's important. I got to take care of it, human. I'm really glad I don't have to do that anymore either. I absolutely insist on having fun. I have some sponsees who are learning that it's okay to have fun even if you're not sure if you can. The place where I got sober, they would throw dances every week or every other week, you know, and that really taught me a lot about having fun. I think if it hadn't been fun when I'd gotten sober, that I may not have been able to stick, because does anybody remember the Toyota commercial, "What will you do with all the money you save?" Well, that's what I used to say when I first got sober. Some of you aren't old enough to know it. But I remember thinking to myself, what will I do with all the money I save, right, when I was newly getting sober? Well, the truth is, I'm a drunk. I probably didn't save that much. Actually, the truth is, the bottom line truth is, ultimately, overall, I really haven't earned much anymore. And that's okay. I've learned how to be okay with what I am, doing what I am. I've been unemployed for a long time now, and I'm having the best life I've had ever. It's tight, but that's only one area of my life. My heart is happy. I have friends. I'm committed to staying involved to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what gives me a life worth living. I work the steps. I read the books. If I don't do that, I die. My brain starts feeding on its own information without that written intervention. You know, I need to do that. I can sit in, especially like discussion meetings, I hear all kinds of stuff, and it's not always Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why I stick with the, you know, go back to the books, make sure I go back to the foundations. When I was 24 years sober, I got a 24-hour chip because I never, ever wanted to forget. This is a 24-hour-a-day program. This is a one-day-at-a-time deal. One day. I just happened to have a little experience practicing staying sober. I got some information, but today is what I've got. You know, there's a lot of people out there with a lot more sobriety than me, and I'm really grateful for those folks. I am so grateful for the people that were here when I got here. The ones who gave their dollar and $2 and $3 in the basket for all those years before I got here, so that Alcoholics Anonymous could be there for me. And guess what? It's my job now. It's my job now to do what I can to make sure Alcoholics Anonymous is here for your grandchildren. It's my job and yours. And if you're wondering what you're doing here, maybe that's it. Who knows? Maybe that's it. I really am grateful to all you guys for having me here tonight. I hope that you heard something that was useful. I don't know what else to say except thank you for making a 12-step call on me tonight. Without you guys, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be here. And I've been in meetings in a lot of different cities and actually even in a couple of different countries. And Alcoholics Anonymous is everywhere I go. All I have to do is show up and say, I'm one. Sometimes they don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, but I've had them just grab me by the arm and say, let's go. You know, and I'm safe again. I'm safe because I am one. When I'm not one, I'm not safe at all. When I'm not one, I'm liable to go into that denial and do that kill me again. I'm not willing to do that anymore. I know about being a member of the Walking Dead. That's what I was before I got here. I don't ever, ever, ever have to live that way again as long as I stay involved in Alcoholics Anonymous and do what they tell me. And for that willingness, I am grateful to that power I don't understand that keeps me here one day at a time. Thanks, you guys.